are live. What's going on, folks? Welcome back to a special edition of the Nuclear Golf Podcast. We're going to be wrapping up the first two rounds of the PGA Championship and previewing the weekend for you guys. My name is John. I'm the co-owner of Nuclear Golf and TW Legion. I'm joined tonight by Courtney Spitz, Mike Carbone, and Hutch Bennett. Tim's not with us tonight. He is, I guess, lagging out on his internet and he couldn't make it over. So the four of us will roll with things. Before we get started, today's show is sponsored by Blue Chew. Better sex is just a few clicks away. Visit bluechew.com to learn more. And big thanks to Blue Chew for sponsoring today's episode. Fellas, we got a lot to talk about. There's been a ton of drama unfolding at the PGA Championship. I mean, it hasn't been exactly the most riveting major that we've seen, but there still has been, you know, some storylines to talk about. We're going to get into the leaderboard and the leaders. We're going to get into the Shane Lowry rules fiasco that took place today on number 8. We're going to get into the Scotty Mudball quote from his press conference. Tons of other complaints about the course as well. Tyrrell Hatton had a complete meltdown. Rory fired back at Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, wasn't completely firing back, but he kind of responded to the incident that happened at Augusta. And the block party is officially over. We can now declare the block party has come to an end. Michael Block finished well towards the bottom of the leaderboard, missed the cut, and I think we can pretty much write off any hype surrounding Michael Block going forward. Fellas, so how are you guys doing? Have you had a chance to watch any of the PGA so far this week, or are you just going to tune in for the weekend rounds here from Quail Hollow?
Hutch?
Yeah.
Go ahead, yeah, Hutch. I mean, I've been watching a little bit. It's been a hectic couple of days around here, but I've been watching a little bit. It looks, I don't, and maybe I haven't seen enough to understand what the complaints about the course are, but it's Quail Hollow, right? Like it's you know what to expect going into it. They play there every single year on tour, so it's been good. I'm excited for the weekend. See what happens with this leaderboard. I do love me some Johnny Vegas. Like, wouldn't have picked him. Obviously didn't pick him on the last show, but I do like Johnny Vegas.
Yeah, I haven't caught. I caught tidbits, you know, just the normal workday week. I'm trying to catch in some excuse me, some highlights. And the course looks like it's in phenomenal shape, but there are some wicked scores out there. A lot more 75s and up from some pretty big names. So that told me that it was playing pretty difficult. But, you know, then I feel like the complaints from the players may be more along the lines of them not playing as well. And it just kind of goes with that. That's how it is. If you're shooting 65, you're probably not complaining. So with some higher scores and some adversity, maybe we're just getting some frustration feedback. And I'm super excited for Max Homa up there at the top, tied for 5th right now. Love his game. It's come together in the last, month or two. It's kind of like he's really hitting the groove in these last couple mm-hmm. tournaments. So I'm excited to see what he does on the weekend. And obviously Scotty's right there, tied for 5th with Max. He's going to be chasing everybody down, and you know he's going to be there at the end. So there's some good storylines and a lot of good golf to be played.
That's really good there, Courtney. Didn't get to watch as much as I'd like to on Thursday. It was my youngest daughter, Madeline's birthday. So watched some highlights when the kids went to bed, tried to do some catching up. And then today I was on a train. So I've been watching highlights here the past hour or so, trying to catch back up. But I plan on watching a lot of golf this weekend and, you know, super happy for Johnny Vegas. I don't know if you guys saw that. His track record at majors isn't the best. I think he's made a couple of cuts in majors total. I think I forget what his best finish is. So, you know, for him to be leading after 36 at the PGA this year is pretty incredible. So happy for him.
What his best finish is.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, I think it's T22 at the 2016 PGA was his best finish. if we go back, I mean, he didn't play any majors in 23 or 24. He missed the cut at the Masters. T57 at the 2021 U.S. Open. I mean, apart from that, he did make the cut at three majors in 2018. He was T38 at Augusta. He was T41 at the U.S. Open, and he was T59 at the PGA. He missed the cut at the U.S. Open that year.
Okay.
Apart from that, like, not a lot of major championship.
I saw they had on a graphic on the screen when he finished his round and was doing his interview that this is the first time in his major championship career that he's had back-to-back rounds under par. And this was like his 46th, I think, round in majors. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, hey, you know, all it takes is 1 week where it all comes together, right? Like, he's been there so far. We'll see what the pressure does. I mean, he'll obviously be going off in the last group tomorrow. So we'll see if that has an impact or not. Probably will, but hey, I mean, you play just to get yourself in these positions, right? So he's here. We'll see what he does with it.
Johnny Vegas went out on Thursday and fired a round of 64. He had nine birdies, two bogeys, seven under 64. And then he followed that up today with a round of, I think it was one under. So he shot one under today on Friday. He's currently leading the tournament by two strokes over Siwoo Kim, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Matthew Pavon. And then behind him, Scottie Scheffler is right there, banging on the door. He shot three under today. Courtney, like you mentioned, Max Holm has seen a resurgence since the caddy change. Looks like a totally different guy out there, to be honest. Looks like he's really rounding into form, found his game. Seven under 64 today for the second round. He had an eagle two on 14 today, along with four other birdies on the back nine. He was six under 30 on the back nine today. So what a week so far for Max Holm. It would be an amazing story if he could stay up there and be deep in the contention on Sunday.
Yeah, it's so interesting to look at the leaderboard, and the trend is kind of, I mean, there's some guys out there like Fitzpatrick that have been consistent. Fitzpatrick fires two rounds at 68, but you talk about the bogey, or well, you talk about the one under for Vegas. He double bogeyed 18. If he pars it, he's three.
He had three shot lead.
Yeah. So, but he shoots a 64 and then a 70. And then Homo was a 70, he was a 73 and a 64. Siwoo Kim was a 72 and a 64. I'm just looking at some of the, you don't see that a lot in majors. You don't see big numbers and then low rounds or low rounds and then big rounds. You see guys at the top that usually are firing consistent rounds and getting off to a good start. So it's interesting to see if this trend kind of continues where a name from the middle of the pack takes a huge jump up or a name at the top of the leaderboard falls back because of a big round or a big number here or there. So that'll be kind of something to watch for me this weekend.
Like interesting quote from Holma following his second round. He said, "Other weeks you're almost hopeful or hoping for a good round. This week I knew I was going to play some good golf." So sounds like he was super confident going into the week. And he's backed that up with his play today. It's just super good to see because he was struggling for such a long period of time, like going all the way back to last year's Open Championship in July. Mm-hmm. Like just a few weeks ago, he had only made the cut in like one full field event, I think it was, right? So it's been a struggle. And obviously he decided to change things up with the caddy swap. And maybe that's kind of changed his mindset about everything, but it's great to see Max Homa up there. He's obviously one of the fan favorites on the PGA Tour. So, it's good news. Good news for golf.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Scottie Scheffler, you know, like we said, he's right there. He's three shots back, right? At five under. He said, I think most of me is just glad to be close to the lead. If you're going to play a 72-hole golf tournament, there's going to be days and stretches of golf where you're not swinging at your best. Over the course of a tournament this long and on a major champion setup, there's going to be, like I said, some bumps in the road. It's all about how you respond to those. I did a good job of responding to those mistakes today and keeping myself in the tournament. Scotty shot 3 under today. So he's right there, just 3 shots back of the lead. Are you guys expecting Scotty to be deep in the hunt come Sunday? I mean, he's right there. You would assume so, right? He's right there at every major.
Yeah. 100%. I did pick him for the tournament, so I hope so.
Yeah, 100%. He hasn't had his best stuff this week so far, and you see where he's at, right? Like, so,
yeah.
You know, if he's able to round into form at all, he'll be right there. He may be right there.
Actually, it's the 1 year anniversary of that historic moment last year when Scotty was arrested.
His arrest.
I'm not sure if you guys caught it, but all the Nike guys are wearing orange. At various points.
They've been around this week.
Yeah, it seems like they're paying homage to the jumpsuit. So
yeah,
it sure does seem that way. It looked weird seeing Rory in it.
I was like,
"What are we doing?"
Yeah, I saw there were people that were referencing Scotty because he played at the University of Texas, and obviously burnt orange. They're like, "Oh, it's not because he got arrested." I definitely feel like it is paying homage to last year for sure at this point.
Yeah, maybe if it was just Scotty, you could use that as an excuse. But putting all the Nike guys in it, like,
yeah.
Like yeah, Brooks was wearing orange. Not a common colorway for Nike.
Yeah, no.
I think Brooks was wearing orange yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, it's for him. It's clear what it is.
He probably feels like going to jail right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, him and, Mike.
Him and Mickelson at +9.
Phil's defense, a lot of those came from the 4 shots he took to get out of that bunker.
Well,
which is not something you expect to see out of Phil.
With no prep and just showing up, you know, last minute to the tournament and seeing what's going to happen.
Well, it's probably the fact that they have to wear pants too. I mean,
Courtney, dude, they've been wearing pants on Liv all year.
No,
not Phil.
Yes. You can do it in the practice rounds, but in a real tournament, you have to wear pants on Liv.
But back to Scotty, he's the cleanest ball striker in the top 25 of the leaderboard. And I think that's the biggest difference is that's why he's always there. He's never going anywhere. He's just so pure in striking the golf ball, and his game is so consistent. So his misses, you know, he shoots a 3 under and he's like, man, I really just kind of battled out there. And it's like, some of these dudes are begging for a 3 under round to get back in a groove, and he's just kind of ho-hum around the golf course for a 3 under. So I fully expect him, you know, to make a run tomorrow, but even on Sunday, we're going to be watching him in the last 2 or 3 groups, and it's going to come down whether he makes a couple putts if he's winning the golf tournament or not, or somebody's going to have to just go out and beat him.
Crazy, crazy stat. From Justin Ray, who always provides the juiciest of stats.
Stat Jesus, that guy.
At Justin Ray Golf on X, I'm sure you all follow. We don't have any relationship with him. It's just amazing stats that he provides for the world of golf. I mean, I don't know how he pulls these numbers, but he does. 91% of men's major champions the last 30 seasons have been in the top 10 through 36 holes is one. Scottie Scheffler opens the PGA with back-to-back rounds in the 60s for the third consecutive year. He's the only player to do that in 2023, 24, and 2025 in this championship. And one other quick stat about Johnny Vegas. Assuming he keeps his two-shot advantage the rest of the day, Johnny Vegas will be just the third in PGA Championship history to lead by multiple shots after rounds 1 and 2. That's a wild stat as well.
Yeah.
You have to go back to 1982, Raymond Floyd, who won the tournament, and in 1963, Dick Hart ended up finishing T17. But apart from that, having a two-shot lead in multiple in rounds one after rounds 1 and 2 to lead by multiple shots, Johnny Vegas is up there with some history there this week.
Yeah,
What do you guys expect from Johnny Vegas? Before we move on, what do you guys expect for Johnny Vegas on the weekend? Do you think he's going to be able to keep it going, or is this just a matter of he had one solid round and now he's going to kind of fizzle?
I think it all comes down to his perspective. You know, if he's coming in like, this is my one chance and this is never going to happen again, he's going to play terrible this weekend. But if he comes in with the perspective of, this is house money I'm playing with, I've got nothing to lose, he very well could be in the last group on Sunday. And I mean, he's playing phenomenal right now. So we'll see what happens, but I don't have any expectations for him. I just hope that, you know, he comes in with the right mindset and doesn't put too much pressure on himself, even though it's going to be really tough.
He had a good break. I think he was on 17. He hit the rake. Next to the bunker, he hit a rake and it kicked up on the green, which is nice. But like I say, we followed up doubling 18. If he doesn't double 18, then the 70 is what, 68? So now we're talking a bigger lead, and we're talking, the tone of what we're talking about is a lot different, because the way we're saying it is like, he just shot one under today. It was kind of an even round, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, if he doesn't double 18, the tone of what we're saying is a lot different. Now, with that said, like we were saying earlier, the big stage and the bright lights, like, he is the final group tomorrow and everybody's going to be watching him. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. He could shoot 75, 76. More realistically, I think he'll probably shoot something around par. It's also going to kind of vary on how the course plays. If it dries out more and gets a little springier on the greens and they have a little more difficulty, then the course could play pretty tough tomorrow too. It's going to be fun to watch, see what he does.
Yeah, I think the course, it was fast in the first 2 days. I mean, there's some speedy putts. I could see this it could get wild. Real difficult on the greens. Yeah. But I just have a gut feeling that Vegas is a vet. You know, I mean, he's not a young guy. He's kind of been through the adversity. Like we talked about, his best finish was back in 2016. He's, you know, I just feel like he's going to be calm and he's going to be centered with where his game is at. He's not going to try and do something, you know, crazy and go out and shoot a 62. I think he'll be there. I think we see a 2 to 3 under from him tomorrow, which puts him right there on Sunday. Barring anybody shooting the lead,
because that's
7 under. Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a difficult weekend. It's not, I can't say that we won't, because we just saw 7 under from Homa today, but I don't anticipate much more than a 6 or 7 under on Saturday again. That would be some really good golf. So we'll see, but I got confidence in Vegas that he stays right there in contention and he's in the top 5 going into the final round.
I will say, in his interview post round, he did say, he noted how he kind of ran out of gas towards the end of the round. And he kind of attributed it to, he was a late tee time Thursday, early tee time today. So, you know, quite a lot of time for him to kind of rest and regroup. So he just kind of was running on fumes toward the end of the round today. So we'll see. I mean, he'll have over 20, probably, I would imagine, I don't know if tee times are out yet, but by the time his tee time is tomorrow, it'd probably be over 24 hours since he finished his second round.
Tee times are out. I don't have it in front of me exactly. I think it's in the 2 o'clock hour. But
yeah, so he'll be over 24 hours since he finished his second round. So that should be plenty of time to rest.
Yeah, if we look at Data Golf, which has the winning probabilities, top 5, top 20 probabilities, they've pegged Johnny Vegas at about a 10%, just under a 10% chance of winning the tournament, and they have him at about a 40% chance of finishing top 5. That's huge.
Who's got Johnny the best Vegas odds?
It's Scheffler at 24%. I'm sure it's just based to win. Yep. Essentially 1 in 4 odds to win. If we go down the list, I mean, you've got Siwoo Kim with a 6% chance, Fitzpatrick with a 5.6% chance, DeChambeau has an 8.6% chance, and a 37% chance of a top 5. Homa, they're only giving a 3% chance to win, but a 21, just under 21% chance of a top 5. So we'll see how this shakes out over the weekend. There's lots of guys there within, you know, 4 shots of the lead. If you go down to to Garrick Higo down at 4 under par, Bryson at 3 under, and lots of guys that just don't have a ton of experience playing in majors as well, or at least being up near the lead. Lots of guys that don't have a lot of major experience on the weekend, at least. But if we look at this board overall, I mean, notables, we've got Fitzpatrick, we've got Scheffler, we've got Homa, we've got DeChambeau. I mean, those are the main guys. You know, there's some other guys in there too, like Denny McCarthy is 4 under par, 4 shots back. You know, Siwoo Kim, just 2 shots back. I mean, he's right up there.
That's pretty Cowboy crazy killer. As well.
Yeah. Oh, Mike, funny story there about Siwoo Kim. He was smoking a dart. Not sure if you saw the video. He was smoking a dart during the first round. You know, he's coming off the tee box, dart in the hand, and then he buries it. Video has been disabled, obviously, because, you know, can't have that. But
can't have fun. No fun.
Can't have fun, allowed. Folks. Yeah. Can't have that. That shows the PGA of America in a bad light. So we can't have that. But that was a viral moment.
This was America.
Sure. Yeah. That was a viral
smoke
moment.
Cigarettes
for sure.
Like men.
Yeah. Hey. It's funny. A little bit off topic here, but I had a high school teammate. It was a junior tournament. He was a senior in high school, and he lit up a cigarette on the first tee, and he got he was disqualified.
How old?
He was a senior in high school. I don't know if he was. I think he was 18. I'm pretty sure he was 18. Yeah, and
it
was
walked up for the first tee and smoked. That's awesome.
Oh my god! Yeah. Anyway, that.
It's all good, Mike. Interesting historic stat about McIlroy. In 2010 at the Wells Fargo, he made the cut at 1 over par, and he was trailing by 9 shots going into the weekend. This week, made the cut at 1 over par, trails by 9 shots going into the weekend. 15 years ago, that happened.
He's one of those guys that's capable of firing at 62 or 63. Like he could easily come out and do that tomorrow. Nobody would be stunned if he did that.
Especially at this track, right? He has 4 previous wins at Quail Hollow. We talked about it on the show earlier this week. 4 wins at Quail Hollow. He made it to a playoff in a 5th event. So he's got like 10 top 10s at Quail Hollow. Earlier in the week, he made some interesting comments, though, about the course. He was saying it wasn't really playing any different than it usually does at Quail Hollow, apart from the rough being juiced up in a few spots. That seemed like a bit of a complaint from Rory McIlroy in terms of the course playing as a major championship venue. I thought that was interesting that he kind of called out the course in that way. He wasn't exactly throwing shade at them or anything like that, but he was just kind of making an observation that didn't seem like to his eyes that the course was playing any different than it usually does.
Yeah.
They talked about the rough not necessarily being like a height management issue. It wasn't a tall rough, but they did say that it was a thick rough, and it's obviously going to be something to keep our eyes on as far as, you know, if you're going to win this golf tournament, you can't play out of that. So we've seen plenty of bad shots. And, you know, you guys reference, you know, Mickelson 4 shots out of a bunker. So Rory went 74 and then 69. He could follow up that 69 with 2 rounds in the 60s pretty easy. But I don't know. He's going to have the leaderboard stay where it is at the top for him to they can't move. And he's got to go get it. So it's pretty unlikely that we see Rory in the top 5.
Well, he can't. He just can't have some. If he goes out and shoots a 64, he just can't have any of those guys shooting like 66, 67.
Right.
Like he needs them to. He needs it to play tough tomorrow. But again, like if there's anybody capable, like it's this guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
You know how he gets. He goes on these birdie barrages, these binges of birdies. Like it would not shock anybody to see that happen.
biggest story of the day, I would say, online at least, from a content perspective, was the Shane Lowry situation. Yeah. I'm not sure if you guys caught it. Shane Lowry, I believe he started on the back nine today. So he, I think, right? He teed off on 10, I think, to start his day. So he was finishing his day on the front nine, I believe. Gets to the eighth hole. He hits a perfect tee shot down the fairway. And his lie, he essentially gets a plugged lie. His ball just goes straight into the mud, basically. I mean, it's more than just a mud ball. His ball was actually embedded. Got a rules official out there, and they're not giving him any relief from it. So Shane Lowry, the story here is that he was pissed off, obviously, right? He's like, you know, he's saying like, F this place, whatever. Had a complete meltdown about it. I mean, it'd be frustrating as well if you were in this situation, I imagine, because it's kind of unfair. You hit your ball into the fairway and then you end up with that. And this isn't just your typical mud ball. Like, he couldn't even really get a proper club on it. I guess it was someone's divot, technically. It was an old pitch mark. Yeah. It's an old pitch mark, but the lie was really bad. Anyways, he goes on to bogey the hole and he ends up missing the cut by one shot. I think the cut was one over par and he finished at two over. So super frustrating situation for Shane Lowry. Obviously just recently had the tough finish at the end of the tournament there where he didn't end up getting it done. He's looking for his first solo finish on the PGA Tour, like solo event finish since 2019. He did win the 2022 BMW PGA, but on the PGA Tour, it's been a struggle for him. They obviously won the Zurich, him and Rory. But I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on this. Ball was clearly kind of embedded in a pitch mark. Do you think he should have gotten relief here? Is this just an unlucky break or an improper ruling by the official?
It doesn't have to be one or the other, right? Like, it's not an improper ruling, I guess, technically by the rules. Do I think it's horseshit? Yeah, absolutely. Our guys over at Scratch, they wrote a pretty good article about it, and it explained it very well. Because it was somebody else's pitch mark that it was embedded in, he didn't get relief. If it was his own, he would have gotten relief. So in what world does that make sense?
Yeah, like, that's just completely ass backwards.
Like, it doesn't make any sense at all. He got screwed. He could barely advance the ball, as John said. In the Scratch article, you know, they point out that he advanced it around 80 yards in a greenside bunker, didn't get up and down, missed the cut. Like, it's – but because it was an old pitch mark and it was partially plugged in somebody else's pitch mark, not his, and they weren't playing lift clean plays, even though it was a little wet, he gets screwed. And I don't think that's fair or right at all. And him missing the cut, not that he needs the money, but – you know, now he misses out on the money. Whether he was going to win or not, probably not. But at least he gets a chance to play the weekend, make some money.
Yeah, I don't understand the embedded factor. Like, as long as I've ever watched and played golf, when the ball was embedded, you got relief. I mean, that was just
You
know, it's not something that it's completely out of your control as a player, and. I just, when I saw that lie, when I saw the picture of the lie, I couldn't understand the ruling. I appreciate the explanation from Hutch and Scratch in the article, but it doesn't justify it in my head. I think he should have gotten relief. I think the PGA needs to mend the rule as fast as possible. You know, these are supposed to be the best courses in the world, in the United States for these majors, and we're getting a ball that's plugged and almost unplayable. I mean, to a certain extent, and we're not going to adjust that. It's not like it's happening, you know, to a ton of players. It happened one time. Let the guy, you know, clean in place or whatever, and move on, because it's an embedded I guess I just don't understand the difference. I've seen other golfers hit shots around the green into the rough and it gets embedded and they get a,
it's in their own, I guess that's in their own mark ball mark though. That's what's crazy to me. Even if he had mud on it, but I did see after he hit the shot, I don't know if you guys saw that video where he took a pretty good chunk of turf after, like he pulled like one of the ultimate, like one of us moments where he hit a bad shot and he's just reached the end of his rope and he just slams the club into the ground and takes a huge chunk out of the ground out. Like he got his pound of flesh. I mean, he's missing the cut, but he did get his pound of flesh.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, honestly, this should have all been avoided this week. It should have been lift, clean and place, you know, for at least the first couple of days. And this would have been a non-story, but now this is kind of a black eye in a sense for the tournament, at least up until this point. So hopefully we have some really good golf the next 36 holes. And
but you know what, Mike, like we say that, and then in 5 years though, nobody, even next year at this time, nobody's going to say, yeah, but that tournament, they didn't do lift, clean and place the first few rounds. And the PGA of America knows that. So they don't care. They're going to do it the way they want. They obviously don't like fun. Because they can't, you can't put a smoking video up. And I love the tournament. I love everything that they put on for the most part. I love the club pros get in. I love every now and then there's a story like Michael Block. It's great, but some things should just be common sense. And this isn't talking about the PGA of America. This is talking about just the rules of golf in general. That's a broader complaint that I have, that it's too complicated. Everything should just be common sense. You try to tell everybody that this is the game of honor and honesty and integrity and all that stuff, and you don't trust any of these professionals to do that to a certain point. They did a great thing a couple of years ago by simplifying the rules of golf in a lot of ways. They need to take it further, like a lot further.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, Lowry was pissed off. It was at a critical time in the tournament for him. Very consequential moment, right? Like, he went on to miss the cut by one shot. And, I mean, if lift, clean, and place was enacted in this situation, I mean, we wouldn't even be talking about it.
And if it happens on Sunday, sorry to cut you off there, John. If it happens on Sunday, it is going to be remembered. Like, you mentioned, Hutch, that, you know, next year nobody's going to know or talk about it. But if it happens on Sunday in the middle of, you know, a one or two shot lead,
you're right about that. I was meaning more towards the they didn't have it in the first two rounds.
I know, stakes. But
not like. But if that happens on Sunday, it matters. Well, you're right. But the way the world works and all of our minds, for the most part, is more of a recency bias. So if it happens at the end of the tournament, then yeah, it'll be a huge deal. I can't imagine that they'll let that play out if it stays wet on Sunday. Like I would imagine they'd have that in their heads of, we don't want to have a black eye on us, have this tournament come down to a ruling because of us on Sunday. So there's things that go into that, I would imagine, like the leaderboard and all that kind of stuff. So we'll see what they do, but you're right about that, Courtney. If it happens Sunday, it'll be hugely consequential.
Fellas, we could all use a stiff flex shaft in the bedroom, and Blue Chew can help. Have better sex with Blue Chew. Blue Chew is the original brand offering chewable tablets for better sex. And starting now, Blue Chew is offering a combo so strong, it'll knock your socks off and your neighbor's socks off. You'll have to move towns with the amount of noise you'll be making. Blue Chew Max has arrived, and it combines the active ingredients of Viagra and Cialis into one chewable. This combo acts fast and lasts. Great sex is just a few clicks away. Sign up today at bluechew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers. And once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped directly to your door. The best part, it's all done online. That means no visit to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Make life easier by getting harder and discover your options at bluechew.com. And we've got a special for our listeners today. Try your first month of Blue Chew free when you use promo code NUCLEAR. Just pay $5 shipping. That's promo code NUCLEAR, N-U-C-L-R. Visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. Big thanks to Blue Chew.
I wore my blue just for them.
And fellas, we're going to bring in some very special guests now. Just let me get them on here. We are pleased to be joined by Lyle and Nash. These guys are a big part of our nuclear golf tracking team. Tom Kim Legion and Brooks Koepka Tracker, I believe. Right, fellas? How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing good. How about all of you?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I also do the Thigala lead, Thigala fans, but unfortunately, the neck injury, he's withdrawn from the last two tournaments. So.
Yeah, that's unfortunate for sure that Thigala wasn't able to tee it up. Just overall thoughts, like heading into the week, I mean, was there any indication that Thigala was dealing with a neck issue at all, or is this kind of a new thing that just kind of cropped up?
Yeah, I had seen, because I know you guys might know his girlfriend Juju posts a lot of stuff. She had kind of said earlier in that week that he had been dealing with a neck injury, but he still hasn't really released a bunch of details about like the severity of it. But she posted a video on Saturday of the Truist after he had to withdraw because he couldn't play Sunday. And he was just saying how he was in a lot of pain and it was hard to swing a club. So I don't exactly know how bad it is, but it can't be good if he's withdrawn from a major. So hopefully it gets better soon, but it's really too bad it happened at this time of the year.
Yeah, no, it's really bad timing for sure. And, you know, especially at a major, it's, you know, just, you know, we're getting into the crux of the season where it's, you know, it's a major a month and you just want to be healthy and performing at your best. So it's definitely tough to see. You know, let's get in a little bit about Brooks. Overall thoughts, which one of you guys is tracking Brooks and what's been overall kind of thoughts this year? Obviously it's been a bit of a tough go, eh? Like, it's a miscut this week at the PGA, right?
Yeah, I'm the one that does Brooks too. Nash does Tom. But yeah, Brooks, I mean, really ever since the transition to LIV, it's been pretty rocky. And in the majors, especially this year, I mean, finished 5 over in the Masters and missed the cut too. So, like, for these LIV guys, the majors is what you really look forward to and really hope is where you play your best golf. And Brooks, I mean, he was in a featured group this week, so I was able to watch a lot of his action. And it just looked like he just didn't have a lot of energy out there. I mean, there was a shot in one of his drives in round one where he just hit his tee shot, and it was a hook or a shank left, and he immediately just asked for a provisional, and he didn't even hesitate. It's like he walked up to the ball and was hitting it. He wasn't hitting his irons well at all. The bunker game wasn't good, and it's similar to how it was at Augusta, just not impressive golf and not a lot of passion, I guess. It doesn't look like he's that motivated out there. And I mean, he won the PGA in 2023, so you have to wonder just what changed. And he hasn't like said anything about an injury, but I just wonder what's the true reason to bad play lately.
You could almost correlate that Liv has kind of taken his soul.
You guys are not helping my cause here. I'm like trying to help Liv and you're giving them all the talking points.
Nash, I got a question for you. How much do you attribute Brooks becoming a father this year to his game not being quite as sharp?
I mean, I guess that might have some external factors to it, but on the course, I guess maybe that's causing some other thoughts in his creeping in his head. But I know also the NHL team he's a fan of, the Florida Panthers, are playing the playoffs coming up. So I just was thinking that's another thing that might be coming into his mind, like in this Thursday.
Yeah, I saw some people joking about, they're playing right now actually, joking about how he's going to take a quick flight to the game tonight. And I highly doubt that's going to happen. But yeah, I mean, it was just an awful, I mean, 75, 76 in his two rounds this year. He's never missed a cut of the PGA before, so it's just such a quick downfall.
I saw the picture you guys posted, or you replied to, I think, maybe. Somebody was asking if he was sick because there was a picture where he didn't look great, like bent down or something like that.
Like winded, just totally exhausted. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's because he's more likely sick or hurt, not because he doesn't have a soul, Courtney.
Lyle, this is the first time in Brooks' career that he's missed back-to-back cuts in majors in the same season. If we go back to 2024, I mean, his best finish at a major was T26 at the PGA. I guess he was also T26 at the U.S. Open. But so far this year, like you touched on, it's been miscut at the Masters, miscut this week. You know, Lyle, just talk a little bit about how you got into tracking. You're covering the Gala, you're covering Brooks. What kind of motivated you to start an account, and how long have you been at it for?
Yeah, so me and Nash have both been at it for a few years. We're just big golf fans. We like to play and watch, but we're both really into just social media and like journalism in general. So especially around, I actually, my first tracker was Harry Higgs.
Yeah.
Occasionally post on that, but a few years ago I started it. I've gotten to meet Harry since then, and he followed me back, so it really motivated me to keep going. And it's just a cool community to get to see everyone, see all the trackers and interact. But I've started a few different ones, but now obviously I'm just doing the nuclear ones and occasionally posting on Higgs. But I think X, I guess, is a cool place to post, and the golf community is really big on there. So we got into it probably really 2.5 years ago, and now I've just been using it more since, and it's been good. So.
Awesome. Lyle, or Nash runs Tom Kim, right? So for Tom Kim, I think he made the cut on the number today at one over par. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Pretty up bogey in there. And yesterday, obviously, had an eagle. So it's kind of been totally up and down. But the last two Wells Fargos, he's made the cut at. So it was kind of a similar streak of making the cut, but not really necessarily in top of the leaderboard contention. But obviously, making a cut at a major is huge. It's his second straight made cut at the PGA. So, not your best 2 days, but definitely not something to hang your head over.
Yeah. And Nash, what's been kind of the vibe around Tom Kim this year overall? Is he, you know, not really performing where he could be? Or has it been spotty performances this season?
Yeah, I mean, pretty spotty. I think there's definitely more potential there, not like bottom of the barrel, but I mean, he made cut at the Masters, like top 10 at Pebble. But outside of that, you're looking at a miscut at the CJ Cup, miscut at the Texas Open. So it's like definitely not maybe where it could be, but definitely not something to totally hang your head over, like I said.
I would say kind of similar to Thigala, where it's not worst case scenario, but it's certainly not what we were expecting going into the season. I mean, I think they both have really high ceilings, and they obviously haven't come anywhere near about this season. But I mean, the majors, like I said, is where you really want to see that growth and jump on the scene. But these two really haven't been able to do that this year as much. So hopefully going forward, you know, I hope Tom Kim has a good weekend.
Yeah.
He made the cut, unlike Brooks.
Yeah, his best major finish, I believe, was the Open a couple years ago, where top five. So obviously probably not going to get in the top five range, but a good day tomorrow would definitely be good for money-wise and just confidence-boosting majors.
Yeah.
Do you guys get competitive between each other?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, we like to play golf against each other too. And like earlier today, our grandpa's also really into golf. He has like a in his backyard, like two holes that he put in, and it's not a big yard, but we go like head to head against each other there, so it's fun.
Oh, who's the better tracker?
I mean, I'm gonna say me.
I feel like we've both been pretty consistent this week, but yeah, I think I'm doing better.
I guess we'll have to check the followers count on that.
Hold on now. You can't hit him because he's a Brooks guy and these anti-Liv people are unfollowing. You can't take a hit on that.
Yeah, I'm
with you.
Yeah, he's with Tom. Yeah.
Who's the better golfer between you two?
Following wise, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too, about the Koepka tracker. One of the reasons I was really excited about it is because he is, like, when he's at his best, he is, like, can be really a fan favorite. So I know there's also a lot of growth potential for that. So that's why I've especially been disappointed. He's been missing cups and majors.
Yeah, and then during TGL, obviously, Tom got a lot of attention for his notoriety in that with Tiger's team, obviously. So that was really fun.
Mike asked, who's the better golfer between you two?
I mean, to be honest, we do go back and forth. Like, one of us can have a better day than the other. We're pretty even. But again, I'm going to say me. I mean, I think I'm better than him.
Probably within a few strokes most rounds, but somewhat even. I would like to say I'm better.
Love it.
Lyle and Nash, it's been awesome having you guys on. It's like, thanks so much for joining us. It's been good to learn a little bit more about, you know, you guys' background and tracking and how you got into it. I hope the gala's back soon for sure, because he's a big part of the PGA Tour. And we do hope that Brooks can round into form, and hopefully Tom Kim can find some form as well. Lyle and Nash, thanks so much for tracking with Nuclear, and we will chat with you guys soon, okay?
Thanks for having us.
Great to be part of the community. So thanks.
No problem. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the rest of the PGA too.
Yeah, you too.
See ya. Yeah.
And them there boys goes. Just got to talk to Nuclear God up there in the top left corner. I think they were shook a little bit by talking to you, John.
Oh, shit.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. I'm not Tim. I'm not Tim Bowman.
Tim would be like talking to their grandpa.
Did you get their waiver from their parents before they got on?
That was good. It was good to have them. I can't believe they are brothers and do that. That's wild. That's
awesome. It's awesome. You know, there's been some other stories this week too. It was actually revealed tonight that Rory McIlroy had a non-conforming driver flagged by the USGA on the range on Tuesday. And he's actually had to switch to a backup driver. There's some comments about alleged cheating at the Masters. I mean, you can measure a driver and it could show something on one day and measure it another day and it could show something else, right? You know, the Masters was a little bit ago now. He could have had a lot of practice between now and then. It's all to do with the face and the limits, right? I'm not sure if you guys caught that about McIlroy's driver. You know, whether his the lack of having that main gamer is contributing to his performance this week or not. What do you guys think about non-conforming drivers being tested on the range?
The way I read that article, again, from Scratch, who just seems to provide us with great info, was apparently the face, you would think as it you hit it more, it kind of wears down. You hear people talk about losing the pop on the driver, but apparently it's the opposite. The more you hit it, the better it is.
Yeah.
It's hotter, right? So barely, for somebody like him and the way they were laying it out, he's going to wear down a driver quicker than most people do. Not only because he's hitting more balls than the average person, but because he's hitting them faster and harder than most people do. So I would imagine, I'd be curious to know how often he changes drivers. So they said he'd been using this one since 2024 sometime, but I think it's a convenient thing to blame it on since he hasn't been his absolute best this week. but he's still, I mean, he's the best driver of the golf ball in the world, maybe in history, according to some people. So I don't know. It just feels like a convenient excuse to me. Like, he can't always play great. Like, he got the career Grand Slam, and we're sitting here talking like he's expected to be, you know, the best at every tournament he plays. And that's just maybe not a realistic expectation for him or anybody for that matter. I don't want to limit that to him.
Yeah, I don't think that – I mean, I think that these guys, you know, they tinker with clubs so much to try and, mm-hmm. you know, get the highest production possible. It would shock me if Rory is hitting a driver that he hasn't hit in a while. I think, you know, yeah. I think they're prepared for every circumstance. But also to say that Rory was cheating with a different driver at a different tournament, all these guys are subject to club inspections. I mean, I guarantee you every bag is inspected before every round just to make sure you've got the proper number of clubs and the proper revisions to all these clubs. So, you know, they're not targeting a certain player, or they're not giving, you know, other players more of an advantage by not checking or checking their bags. So I don't buy into any of that. I think that, you know, like Hutch referred to, it's a weird kink in a situation where his club didn't conform to specifications, and he probably was okay. No big deal. Go to the backup. It's, you know, you can't blame it on one club. You usually got to put all three aspects of the game together. So, just a weird situation, but no contribution to the production of his rounds. He's going to swing it well and time it up, or he's not.
Yeah. And we talked last week about Rory, or we talked on Monday, I guess, about Rory not having his A game last week at the signature event. So it's not like, I mean, yeah, he's coming off the Masters, but it wasn't like he had the greatest in the world showing at the last tournament. He was there. He had a chance, I suppose. But, you know, like we said specifically, I vividly remember us saying that he gave himself a chance with his B or C game. So it's not like he came in the hottest in the world.
Yeah, definitely a little bit of a hangover from the Masters for sure. But I mean, I don't, it's even then, like, he doesn't, I highly doubt he knew that, you know, his driver wasn't conforming to the limits and specifications that the PGA sends out. So, like you said, John, you know, the face continually wears down over time, and Rory hits the ball about as hard as anybody. And obviously is swinging very frequently, so it would make sense as to why, you know, maybe the driver conformed to limits at Augusta and now it doesn't. So
yeah, he's played two events since then, plus an untold amount of practice. Like, it's silly to for anybody to even insinuate that he would be cheating in any way.
Yeah, he's not
got too many cameras on him to cheat.
Yeah, he's not that type of guy either, I don't think, honestly. Like, he's a genuine dude, and then I don't think that would be kind of within his mantra to be cheating. Michael Block, we got to talk about this guy. He finished the week at 15 over par, and like we said in the intro, the Block party is over. This has been going on for a couple of years now. If we go back to when he had his magical run at the PGA in 2023, Michael Block finished, I think he finished what, in the top 15? He had that hole in one while playing with Rory. Magical scenes. It was 2 years ago now. Qualified for the PGA Championship this year. But it was a struggle. 82 today in round two. You know,
76 yesterday.
Yeah.
Or 75. Today,
75 yesterday. Tons of double bogeys on the card. Lots of other squares on the card as well. Quite the interesting comment after the round. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you guys caught it. Co-owner Brent, by the way, is devastated by the Block party being over. This is the end of a content machine that's been rolling for a while. Michael Block gets people going. Some people love him. Some people hate him. Some people probably don't like him so much after the comment that he made after his round today. He gave this quote to golf.com talking about crowd size. And he essentially said that smaller crowds following this week is what caused him to have a poor performance. which, you know, some people might interpret that as being kind of cocky or arrogant. But he said, it's kind of the funny part is I wish there was a huge crowd on every hole because that's when I hit my shots. When there's no one around is when I hit my worst shots. That's something that I need more in my life is a bigger crowd. I just need to play a little better so it could happen. I could only imagine what would have happened if I would have been playing really good this week. So, you know, Michael Block thinks that if he would have had those crowds out there, he would have been maybe in contention. What do you guys think? It's been a while since Michael Block has really done anything notable. I mean, he had those exemptions, right? And actually some news, it looks like he's gotten into the Charles Schwab. Looks like Michael Block.
I see no problem with it. He's confident.
Yeah, it sounds like a focus issue. Like, yeah, there's nobody watching me. I'm, you know, I'm not dialed in here. And then if he's expecting to be dialed in and locked in because there's a huge crowd, that's, you know, he knows people's watching. So that sounds like a focus issue for him. He needs to find the intensity in his own mind that he would have with a, you know, on a back nine at a major on Sunday. But I like watching him play. I think he's an entertaining guy to watch play. I wish he would play well. It's good for the game when you get those PGA pros that are not on the scene every week and they're not regular on the tour stops and they come in and fire some low rounds. I hope he plays well at the Charles Schwab, but he didn't have it this week and he needs to go out and practice.
This is news as of the last few hours. PGA Tour Communications has tweeted out the field for next week's Charles Schwab, and Michael Block has been given a sponsor's exemption.
He's got a
I'm not sure if he has a – I know he's – I think he played the Charles Schwab previously, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he got an exemption after the T15 a couple years ago.
So maybe the Block Party is about to resume.
yeah, Block Party's back on.
It's back.
Listen, it's going to take is one sub-70 round, and then it's back on. It's back on.
Colonial sets up.
He'll probably be in the PGA next year because he's just got to qualify as a pro, right? Like, so he'll probably be in it next year. Take one sub-70 round, brings his content machine back, and the Block Party is back on.
Yeah. Wow. I did not expect to be having this conversation tonight. I didn't think he was going to be getting an exemption into another PGA Tour event. But wow, Michael Block is back next week. In Texas, he's Bat. Seeing it up. That's quite a story.
Party's not over till he says it is.
Yeah. Yeah. you guys see the quotes from Scotty earlier in the week about the mud balls?
Yes.
I didn't see the quotes, but I heard the aftermath of it. So I don't know what he specifically said. Tell me what he said.
Okay, let me get into it here. We won't chat about it too long because there's still some other things to touch on. But Scottie Scheffler on the PGA of America choosing to not play Preferred Lies in round one. This was from his press conference on Wednesday, I believe. I think this was post round after the first round. He said, when you think about the purest test of golf, I don't personally think that hitting the ball in the middle of the fairway should get you punished. On a golf course as good as of condition as this one, this is probably a situation in which it would be the least likely difference in playing it up because most of the lies you get out here are all really good. So I understand how a golf purist would be, oh, play it as it lies, but I don't think they understand what it's like literally working your entire life to learn how to hit a golf ball and control it and hit shots and control distance. And all of a sudden, due to a rules decision that is completely taken away from us by chance, in golf, there's enough luck throughout 72 hole tournament that I don't think the story should be whether or not the ball is played up or down. When I look at golf tournaments, I want the purest, fairest test of golf. In my opinion, maybe the ball today should have been played up. But like I said, I don't make the rules. I deal with what the rules decisions are. I could have let that bother me today when you get a mud ball and it cost me a couple shots, cost me possibly two shots on one hole. And if I let that bother me, it could cost me five shots the rest of the round. So Scottie Scheffler sounded off on the PGA of America's decision to not play Preferred Lies on during the first round of the PGA.
Yeah, I agree with 95% of his statement. It's just one of those things where we as amateur golfers, we don't know what it's like to be hitting those mud balls or those divot lies that they're getting on the toughest courses in the world. So, like, I can't wrap my head around the fact that Scottie Scheffler is losing shots on the golf course because of a lie. I think he's so good that he can deal with anything, but he's telling us it doesn't matter how good you are at golf. When you're dealing with a circumstance that dramatically impacts your ability to control the golf ball, you know, it seems to be dragging the talent level down. It, you know, it takes everything away from us. It's taking it out of our hands. So yeah. I agree. I don't think that if he hits a ball in the middle of the fairway, he should have to deal with inconsistencies of the golf ball, or any player should have to. I think it should be across the board. But at the same time, where I said I agree with 95% of his statement, the other 5% is everybody's playing by the same rules, you know? So, I mean, it's other guys are dealing with it too, whether they're not speaking up because they don't have Scottie's platform, that's to be determined. Yeah. But, you know, it's the PGA Tour's got to do something where, you know, every other sport across the world is adjusting to increase production and entertainment. Why would the PGA Tour not say, we want the best shots on TV every time we get them on TV? Give them the right preferred lies and let's throw some darts.
Okay, Courtney, one guy who's not complaining about the mud balls is Max Homa. He said, I particularly like playing the ball down. I think it just causes chaos for the fans. It's supposed to be entertaining. So seeing people who can look like robots for a while look completely silly isn't the worst, except when it's you.
Agreed.
That was Max Homa. And then Curtis Strange also criticized the decision by the PGA of America. He said, from a player's standpoint, it's completely aggravating when you lose control of the golf ball in the air. I think they thought there was enough grass on these fairways, thick enough, overseeded with rye, that they wouldn't pick up mud. They were wrong, obviously, and I think they made a mistake. I think for one day it's okay to put it in your hand and put it on turf of grass and clean the ball. Tuft of grass. Put it on a tuft of grass and clean the ball.
I got to say, Courtney, I'm disappointed. Like, I thought we were going to get to argue, and then you just said everything that I think, and I have to agree with you. I thought we were going to get to argue.
I can argue with it. I can go both ways. I play the ball down when I play golf. I mean, that unless I'm on a tree root or ground under repair, I will play literally any lie that I get, because I feel that if I'm trying to shoot my best score, I feel that it's true and it is a validation of my score when I'm playing the ball down. So yeah, when Homa says, like, why are we giving the best players in the world a chance to just, you know, essentially be hitting off the range? I mean, it's like every shot is supposed to be your perfect content. Like, that's what we were saying before the show when I said these guys can't complain too much because you just get bad luck sometimes. It's not happening.
You do, but it's the same thing that
13 out of the 18 fairways, or not, they don't get 18 fairways. If there's 13 fairways they can hit on the course, they're not getting bad lies on all 13.
Right. But this is also the same thing that I was saying before too. Like, it's different because it's your starting point. Like, you're starting the second shot usually for these guys that are playing the mud balls. You're starting at a disadvantage because of something that's completely out of your control. There's mud on the ball.
You can't determine
why can't you clean it off?
You can't
determine
that.
It's the same kind of thought process as being in a divot, which we've had this conversation on the show before. I don't think you should play in divot. I don't think you should be punished for hitting a good shot. If you're in the rough and you got a mud ball, or you're in an old divot, tough luck. You didn't hit it good enough off the tee.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from, but why are you saying it's a disadvantage when every player is subject to that same
they're subject to the same fluky whatever. Yeah. I mean, it because it's a disadvantage. Like this, why? The guy next to you who hit the same shot as you, who no, may have a perfectly clean shot. Ball, has a better starting point than you do.
It's just the luck of the draw. Like, there's got to be
some. Yeah, we're saying the same thing.
Yeah, but you're saying it's a disadvantage where I'm saying it's not a disadvantage because we have to look at the percentages of how many times it's happening. That's what
it doesn't matter how often it happens. It's still a disadvantage.
No. If it's one time, it's bad luck. You deal with it, you move on. You know, a basketball player is not going to complain about a backdrop or, you know, fans being too loud because it's a disadvantage. You deal with it.
They might complain about one of their hands being tied behind their back when they're shooting the free throw. Like, it's a disadvantage. I mean, we can argue all day about it, but we're saying essentially the same thing. I just think it's not fair at all. And like Scotty said in his quote, you spend your whole life trying to become the best at, and I don't have the exact quote right in front of me, so John may have to help me, but you spend your whole life trying to become the best at hitting the golf ball, and then you have something that's completely out of your control take your ability to do that away.
Maybe Scotty something should along practice hitting some mud balls every now and then.
Or the PGA of America could use common sense and play the ball up.
We can't know. If I play you in golf and you play it up,
I'm not playing it up. Listen, I'm not fluffing lies, but if I'm in a divot,
Scotty wants fluff lies. Prison softened Scotty. He got soft after prison.
Hardens most people. It softened him.
Sounds like Scotty needs some Blue Chew. Toughen up a little bit.
Definitely get harder.
All right, fellas. It's been an awesome show. Great to talk about the first two rounds at the PGA Championship. Before we head out, anybody got any picks for who you think is going to get it done this weekend? Let's Brooks. Go around the horn. Courtney, who are you picking to close it out?
I'm taking Homa.
Homa?
I want it to – I can't go away from it because I want it. I want Homa to come through. It would be amazing. Everybody would – there's nobody that would dislike it. If anybody says they would dislike Homa winning, kick them off the tour. That's ridiculous. I'm going Homa. Bring it home, baby.
Courtney said, I want it. I
want him to win so bad.
Hutch, who do you got this weekend?
Gosh. I'm just going to do it because I know Mike's going to stick with Scotty because that's who he picked to begin with. I think that's also who's going to win. But since Mike had that pick already, I'm going to do I'll do Bryson. Stay true to my live roots. Don't be shocked, Courtney.
I thought someone was going to throw Johnny Vegas in there.
Nah. Top 10 would be a victory for him in my eyes. Hey. Not to him personally.
I think he's going to surprise some people this weekend. I mean, I'm sticking with my pick, but if I couldn't pick Scotty, I think I would ride with Johnny.
Technically, Johnny.
I feel like this is his Cinderella moment.
I'm going to go a little bit off the board. Well, not too off the board, I guess. I'm going with a guy who's T2, but I'm going to go with Matt Fitzpatrick. You know, kind of a boring golfer. I mean, that's just my opinion, but he's spread out the wealth over a couple of days, two rounds of -3. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's overall very consistent play. 68 in both rounds. He's not made a lot of mistakes. He had two bogeys during the first round. Today he had two bogeys as well. But he's making birdies when he needs to. And he's also – he's been in this position before. Like, he's won the U.S. Open. So he's played in high-pressure-packed moments. He's gotten it done. So I'm going to go with Fitzy. But I would not be surprised if Scotty – gets his first major win of the season, being just three shots back with 36 to play. We would probably take his chances in most majors So,
yeah,
those are my picks.
I'm excited to watch Bryson win with you guys on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to be back on Sunday afternoon during the back nine, kind of a watch-along type of deal, which we did at the Masters as well. I think that pod went on for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Excited to be back.
2.5, I think.
Yeah, 2.5 hours. It was a playoff, right? We'll be back.
Yeah.
We'll be live on X. We'll be live on YouTube. And as always, our show is available after on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and Spotify. Once again, huge thanks to Blue Chew for sponsoring today's episode. Don't forget to visit bluechew.com for more details. Use the code NUCLEAR at checkout, NUCLR. Get your first month free. Just pay $5 shipping. Once again, huge thanks to Blue Chew for sponsoring today's show. Huge. Been an awesome episode, guys. We'll be back on Sunday, taking you guys through the back nine of the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow. Until then, we're signing off. My name is John. Been joined by Courtney, Mike, and Hutch. Hope everyone enjoys the PGA Championship this weekend, and we'll see you guys back during the final round on Sunday. Till then, later.